Shalom, everyone. 哎，下回。 You might be seated. Praise Yahweh. I guess we better start using these and rejoicing, right? You may be seated. May the peace of Yahweh be with each and every one of you. You know, if you think of the joys that you receive here at the house, they're just amazing what Yahweh has set here in the Garden of Eden, the house of Yahweh, the great house of Yahweh in these last days. And, of course, coming out of a land of thrills and make-believe, it's hard to see the down-to-earth joy and gladness that you get in peace and true righteous fellowship with brothers and sisters. It's hard to understand that. Many people come here, they never repent, they never really convert. They just they bring their sins here, and what they're seeking is the same thing that they got from the world, but they're seeking it in a greater fashion here at the house. And some of them get a letdown because they never see the joy in Yahweh. And, of course, Yahweh said, you know, he shows you there in Isaiah 58, you know, that you call the Sabbath a delight. That is, you make it a delight. If you would truly convert when you come here, truly repent of your way, if they truly never repent and start seeking the joy, the true joy that's in Yahweh. I've found it, brethren. I wouldn't give it up. The time that I was arrested and that few days that I spent in that jailhouse, the hardest thing was just thinking about being away from this joy and gladness that I've found here with you and the peace. That was the hard part. I knew Yahweh was going to release me. I knew. I'm going to bring you more of that, by the way, during the feast, because Scripture shows a great deal. And then I told you about a vision that I finally found out what it meant. And Yahweh's finally revealed that to us. And it's a wonderful, wonderful thing. But the joy and gladness, if people would truly repent when they come here, and that's what Yahweh tells you to do, come to his house, repent, and convert. And here he has the greatest priest. He tells you this in the Scripture. In this last days, he has the greatest priest guiding his house, sincere, loving priest that is concerned for you, that is guiding you away from evil, trying to guide you away from evil. And he shows you this to bring you actually to perfection. And he put this priesthood together in these last days for this purpose. And of course, if you would truly repent and start looking for the joy that Yahweh offers right here in his teaching at his house, then you will find your joy. You will find your joy, great joy in Yahweh. And it's such a change. It's praise Yahweh. It's not something you can find in the world. They offer you excitement and a make-believe life. You know, this is, I told you this is the reason the Catholic Church bought up all the world fairs, because they saw the excitement that it generated, and it takes you out of reality and puts you in a make-believe world. And they could take their make-believe salvation and stick it in there with it, and you would associate the two together and want to be a Catholic or want to be a Christian. But there's no real joy in this, no lasting joy. It's like people get a kick out of buying a new automobile, and they find out that it's a fake, it's a make believe. You can hardly wait to get back out in that new automobile and drive it. It could take you to your death, but then it starts falling apart, and you see, why did I ever want this thing to begin with? You know, it's a hunk of junk. But that's with riding a Ferris wheel, you know. You think, oh, wow, what a joy this is going to be. Or now the excitement is wore off of Ferris wheels. They used to be real exciting, but not so anymore, so they make them even more dangerous with this train up there floating around in the sky and coming off of hills and so forth. And if that's not exciting enough, they got this sponge cord that you can go way up to a top tower, and they hook this thing on your legs and you jump off. And it's supposed to stop you just before your head hits the concrete. They have forgot to tie it, you know, and people have lost their lives trying to find that excitement that they thought this was going to bring joy to their life. If you'd think about it in advance, you would see that it's nothing there but make-believe. There's no true joy to be found. But there is true joy here in the house if you'll just repent and turn to Yahweh and start finding it. But when you come here and you don't repent and you bring your sins with you, then those sins will eventually keep growing and outweighing your thoughts of ever wanting to find true peace again. But the true peace is offered here at Yahweh's house. True joy is offered here at His house. It's the only place on earth you can find it. The world of Baal is falling apart. And if you watch the news, you can see this. Certain colonels have left the army, and some of them are still in the army, and they're writing articles and saying, you know, this is nothing but a diversion to keep your mind off of what's really taking place that they're really bringing about. The truth is, starvation is on its way. Nuclear war is on its way. Disease epidemics is spreading like crazy. To want to be a part of that world is, it's a little bit cuckoo, but that's, again, you say, you know, you never converted. You never really repented, and you never asked Yahweh's guidance and tried to turn from what you brought here with you, the sins, the lust, and so forth that you brought here with you. This article says, fear as food prices soar. They show the shortage of food, and it's going to hit the poor. They said this will hit poor families the hardest because all their income already goes to essentials. If you haven't been in that field, then you don't know what you're facing. And of course, if you read any history of what has taken place in my lifetime, you'll see that gasoline engines, when they were created, then tractors. Before my lifetime, we farmed with people. People raised crops. They cultivated the land. They had mules and horses that they followed, which ate the grass. They lived off of the grass and the corn you raised for them. But we had massive amounts of farm workers. Well, when the tractors were invented, commercial fertilizer was brought out of the oil wells and back into the ground to make the food grow real fast. Farm workers got laid off by the thousands, millions. Millions of people lost their jobs. Those people were secure in their jobs. They had plenty of food, clothing, everything they needed. And they were very joyous people. In fact, the best satisfaction in the world is having a piece of land that you can work and call your own. And many people know that. That's the reason that Yahweh says everyone eventually will have their own vine and their own fig tree. Yes, speaking, of course, of their own plot of land and a way to raise crops, raise their food, and share that food, what they don't need, with other people. Yes, this was the way I was raised in Oklahoma, but during my lifetime, I saw that change. I saw the gasoline tractor, you know, that was powered by 150 horses. 150 horses. You drive one horse, you can see what one horse will do, one strong horse. But here's a tractor that equals 150 horsepower. Now they got them that equals 1,000 horses. And they can plow the east 200 acres in 2 hours with with these things. Not only plow them, but sow them at the same time and put down their fertilizer with it all at the same time with just one go-around. I could follow a mule for a half a day and I'd look and, man, I'd see all that I didn't get and and had to go back and do it the next day. But you know, in that time period that I was following that mule, I actually even found joy in that. Yes, there's a certain amount of joy, especially when you start studying what you're doing to the land and you learn to make a bed just right so it will be easily planted. It won't grow a bunch of weeds. And I tell the men this, you know, you've got to plow it three times. You got to till the ground three times, not just once. The weeds will take over if you do. But you can actually find joy in raising a garden or raising food. And this is one of the things that the people who want to do that will be doing it. Others will be doing other things, but we will go back to that Garden of Eden one day because that's where Yahweh presented the first true joy to mankind that we can find today in the same thing. But now they're facing a food crisis. Now, with all their big equipment, their large equipment, they've brought food down. They brought the prices down, but they brought the quality of the food down also by making it grow faster with heavy fertilizing. But now they're facing something else, and they're saying, you know, there's no way that we can raise meat on cattle by cattle any longer. This is a thing of the past. We're going to have to start making our own meat in pans and in large bowls. I'm not lying to you. This is coming. It can't survive the way that it's going now because the wheat production can't take it. The cows that eat, the farmers that use it. Here's an article right here. Artificial meat made in a giant vat could solve global food shortage. Well, it could solve it for a little while. You won't get from it what you get from the beef on a cow, like the carrots that's raised by the commercial fertilizers now. You know, you got a big carrot, you got about 5% of the food value that you got in an organic carrot. And so a person could starve to death eating carrots or anything else that's produced this way. They now know this. They see the change they've made in my lifetime. For 6,000 years, it was the Garden of Eden, but not anymore. And when the gasoline when the oil was discovered, and the first oil well, I think it was dug in Pennsylvania in 1887, I believe. That's just a little over 100 years ago that they discovered oil. Well, they had to find out how to refine it, of course, which they did very shortly, and then they started making engines to use this gasoline and oil products. But just a little over 100 years ago, up until then now, they did the farming organically, and the food was very valuable, very rich in nutrition and so forth. But the farm labor is what disappeared, all replaced by one tractor. Well, they're facing different problems now. And the meat prices set to jump after the wheat failures. This is going to take place right now, they say. Livestock farmers hit by rising wheat prices. So we're going to have to turn to the vats and start making our cows in a vat, our beef in a vat. This is nothing new. The Seventh-day Adventists, they invented the process years ago. The first time I tasted it, I said, you know, this is not meat. This is not what I'm used to calling meat. But a lot of people ate it because they said at that time they were trying to stop eating meat. They were teaching, you know, you vegetarianism. That didn't work out either. And of course, the diseases that came with it soon started turning people off from it. Global collapse of the fiat money system. This is another thing now that we're facing right now is the money system that comes with the schools of higher learning, and this is what they teach. I often wondered if Christianity ever reads the Kohelet, the words that was written by the one that called to action or called to assembly, where he says in advance what you're looking for here that you think you want. He who seeks after silver will never be satisfied with silver. He who has an abundance is caught up in his own abundance, and he starts suffering bodily functions that start taking him down because of his mass accumulation of property, which he thought would make him very happy, very joyous. That's not the true joy, though. That's, you know, and it's nothing that will even get close to comparing with the joy that you could actually find here at this feast that is coming, Feast of Tabernacles, because that's what it's for, is to teach Yahweh's way, of course. But they're saying that this money that's been pumped into the banks is short-lived, and now they're predicting that the banks will collapse. That is the big, too big to fail global banks will collapse between now and the first quarter of 2011. Not too long ago, I told you about the group that said you better get your money out of the banks because when they close, you're going to lose that money. You might keep that in mind. Some of the confusion that's being brought about is like this federal judge that ruled don't ask, don't tell policy unconstitutional. Well, of course, homosexuality and bestiality has been two of the things that has darkened the mind. And, of course, Yahweh gave them up, as Romans says. Romans, the first chapter, says Yahweh said they didn't like to retain Yahweh in their knowledge. They didn't like to retain the Garden of Eden in their knowledge. The Garden of Eden stayed around, although, you know, misused. It stayed around for 6,000 years, as I'm trying to tell you what actually took place in this short-lived world that Yahweh set up as a trial period. It's only a trial period. You have a short time to live. Kohelet said that you won't notice the short time period that you have to live if you find this joy that Yahweh is offering you, because you will be so joyous that the end will come very hurriedly for you, and you won't even notice that you've done spent 100 years here on earth because of the joy you experience. Once you start seeing this, the years start flying by. I can tell you that from my own experience. I can live 10 days and here a year is gone now, you know. But I'm enjoying life. You could too if you find this joy that I've found. And what you need to do is repent and be converted. That's all he asked you to do. Well, farm skills, that wasn't the end of the farm skills, of course. And you can only do so much with tractors and machinery. Machinery doesn't know which vegetable is ripe and which one is not ripe. They don't know when it's time to pick, so they can't drive a machine out there picking these vegetables. Yahweh's created mankind, he can do this. So they have to have a certain portion of farm labor. But they don't want to pay the farm labor except when they need him to go out and pick the vegetables that are ready to pick. So here the farm labor is left. Do we care? This is the caring that takes place among the kings of the earth and the schools of higher learning. In fact, they got you trapped, as the man that wrote the book about the huge corporations that train you in the schools of higher learning. I brought this out to you before his book came out. I think he got the idea from me. But he said the huge corporations own the schools, and they train you to work for their corporation. But do they care if their corporation has to change and shut down? No, in fact, they force it. A close friend of mine, who used to be a member of the House of Yahweh, baptized member, he was an insurance salesman. They promised this insurance salesman, every insurance policy you sell, you're going to get a cut of it. Now, eventually, you'll get so much of this insurance and get a cut of every one of them, eventually, you won't even have to work. You just have this money rolling into you. All you have to do is just keep selling these policies, and it'll keep building up, and pretty soon, it'll be so big you won't be able to spend it all. You'll have to start putting it all in the banks. So he thought this was true, and he started working with this insurance company, and he went in debt big time. Well, the insurance company then saw where it could file bankruptcy or sell out to someone else. They could even sell it to someone else, and the someone else didn't have to keep the promise that they agreed to with this man. So all the insurance salesmen, once they sold out or filed bankruptcy, they lost their everything they had worked and built up, but not only that, everything they'd gone in debt for, because they couldn't pay their bills. Now, these are the traps that you can fall in from the schools of higher learning, and there's millions of this oppression going on throughout the earth. We don't have sense enough when we come to the house of Yahweh to understand the oppression that we're under in this system that Yahweh is against. Yahweh is against this total system that they have brought forth because there's no caring here at all. There's no caring for the people that they're using. They're using you to make their own pockets richer, says Koheleth, long before, thousands of years before this. He told you what it would bring. He tells every preacher. Why won't they read these great words of wisdom? Because they don't believe it. And they have to get caught up in it to see it, and their house foreclosed on, their cars and everything. Well, farm skill shortage now. This is what we're facing now. In today's agriculture business, we're facing a shortage of farm skills. Now, it was at a time when we could use what we call wetbacks. That was an insulting name, of course, to the workers that came here to do the hard labor that we didn't want to do. And the people griped about these people taking their jobs. They weren't taking these people's jobs. The jobs that they were doing, these people didn't even want to do. And you couldn't get them to do it today. Because we've grown soft. America has grown soft like the Egyptians did. That's the reason that the Israelites were able to take over the country. And they did. They were tough, strong, healthy people. And the Egyptians were weakened by their stupid life that America is now living today. It's the same rat race all over again. Well, we have the shortage now of workers. Machines can't think to take care of a sick animal, spot one out in the field and doctor it. The machines can't do this. They used to have men that took care of the animals, that actually would see them and see them getting sick and do something about it then. All of that is gone now. They can't find a sheep herder. Can you imagine not, with all the reading that you see in the Garden of Eden about the sheep herders, there's not a single sheep herder left in the world now. You might find one overseas somewhere in a strange distant land, but not here. They can't even find a farm manager anymore. The farm manager, if they got one, can't get help to do the farm work. This is the shortage they're facing here. That's the reason the Baal, Babylon is fallen. And of course it's being threatened now by wars, nuclear wars, because everybody's mind is so confused that I want you to, let me see, I have some scriptures here. The first house of Yahweh, this was of course with Abel. And the first blessing, if you think about this, if you think about Yahweh created everything. Yahweh created the heavens. He created the earth and all the heavens that involve the earth. You couldn't do it. The earth couldn't do without the sun or the moon. Those are the two ruling bodies of the earth. You've got to have them. Man couldn't even live. Life couldn't even exist without the sun and the moon. But there's other planets that have effect on this earth. And all these, Yahweh, he built the earth way out on the end of what we call the Milky Way. It's way out where it's billions of miles. The planets are only able to get within like 800 million miles from the earth. You know, they can't get close. But Yahweh put the earth out here to put you on, you priest. And your priestess, he put the earth here and he created mankind to go on the earth for a purpose. The purpose was to make you into his image. And then Yahweh created the Sabbath. He ordained the Sabbath day, the seventh day of the week, and he blessed it. He blessed mankind with the Sabbath day. He blessed the Sabbath day, the seventh day, by having an appointment with mankind to start a teaching process. A teaching process that would show him how not to kill himself, how not to destroy the earth, how to guard what he had set up in the Garden of Eden. He built a garden, remember, and I've been through this in detail, but I want to recall to you what we covered, that he built this great, wonderful, beautiful garden. And he set man in it, caring for one another, teaching them how to tolerate one another, how to care for one another, how to actually love one another. You been through any of that here in this last Garden of Eden? You go through it every day, don't you? The trials, the toleration, learning to overcome the shortcomings of your brother or sister, because you can't see your own, but you're learning to overcome theirs. And in yourself, in that process, you're learning that you have some difficulties yourself, too. Wow, what a surprise. I've actually got something wrong with me. Wow. Well, you're learning to overcome, too. And you're learning to love the ones you work with. That's the purpose of the Garden of Eden. The house of Yahweh and the appointment we have with Yahweh every seventh day is for your teaching, of course, to keep you one step at a time, getting you closer to Yahweh's image, making you into that image. And he gives mankind a certain length of time to live in order to allow you to overcome or prove to him that you are not going to. I think the only one that wouldn't overcome is the one that never did repent to begin with when he came to Yahweh's house. He never did repent and try to convert. If he had repented and tried to convert, he had started seeing, he would have started seeing the joy that Yahweh has to offer in his house. Praise Yahweh. Well, the first house of Yahweh, it was for study, to enable mankind to be made into Yahweh's image. The first house of Yahweh was established for that purpose. When you come to Yahweh's house today, it's for the same reason, to learn Yahweh's judgments, to learn his judgments. I want you to go over to Revelation. Now, you'll find Yahweh's judgments throughout the Holy Scriptures, beginning in Genesis, of course, but here in Revelation 15, it also shows you what I will be teaching in this time period, that I will be teaching Yahweh's judgments. I'm going to take you deeper into that during the feast. You're going to see some things that you're going to marvel. You're going to marvel that there, and if I can get everyone to just listen and read your scriptures along with me, you'll see what Yahweh says to each of you sitting here and the glory that he has promised to you, the satisfaction, the joy of life that he has promised to you. All of these things are promised by Yahweh for you. Voluptuous living. Yes, you're going to have it, brethren, if you will turn to Yahweh, repent, and convert to his way and give it a try. You only got a few months left to do this. Yes, a very few months. In chapter 15 of Revelations, look at verse 4. He says, "Who will not reverence you, O Yahweh, and glorify your name? For only you are holy. Only you have reached this height of glory. Only you have reached this height of joy," is what he's saying here. Yahweh is very joyous. And he has found that joy. He's found the true joy without sickness, without disease, without dope. No, he don't use dope at all. His mind is not dopey. You can actually talk to Yahweh and he can give you a sensible answer. That's how much above we. "For all nations will come and worship before you." This is a promise to you in this time period. All nations. I told you how the quartet, it's actually shown that what is left of the nations, all the nations, is going to come worship Yahweh. They're going to do that under your regime, brethren, because you are ones that's going to be running the show at that time, which is a very short time now. In the hidden codes, it will be shown by the great Kohan, Gedaliah, during the feast. In the hidden codes, it doesn't show mankind's governments going past 2011. 2010, 2011 are the last dates shown for mankind's governments. Now, you can throw that away and say, "Oh, it probably don't mean anything. I'm going to go ahead and find my joy." You won't find joy. You're going to find sickness, disease, and sorrow. That's what you'll find in the world. That's what's going down right now. The sickness, disease, and sorrow has got man's mind so screwed up, they can't even make a sensible decision. I'm trying to break through that nonsense right now and tell you it's not there. Look at the way the world is suffering. Look at the way it's coming down. You see violence everywhere. Violence, hatred, suffering, oppression. You see it everywhere. You really want to be a part of that for the last few months that you're going to live? There'll be weeping and gnashing of teeth in a very few months. "They will worship before you." All nations are going to come and worship before you. "For your judgments are made manifest." That is, they're made manifest. That is, they are in advance. They're put out in advance for you to see. His judgment, Yahweh's judgment. Yahweh said Baal is going to fall. You can see it with your own eyes. Look on over, but see his judgment here, his judgment. He's got them throughout the Holy Scriptures. He shows you throughout the Holy Scriptures. He gives you laws. He gives you laws, then he gives you a judgment to show you how to keep that law. He gives you a statute, which shows you the same thing. Shows you how to keep the laws, but the judgment predicts a certain thing. The statute said, do it this way. The judgment said, if you don't do it this way, you're going to go downhill. You're going to cause suffering to yourself. Look at chapter 16 now, and verse 7. He says, and I heard another out of the altar say, may this be so, Father Yahweh Almighty, true and righteous are your judgments. True and righteous are your judgments. You think you know better than this? You think you're smarter than the one that Yahweh inspired to write this scripture right here? He was sent. And he says that the one sent in the last days is going to be teaching you this. That is shown in the book of Revelations right here. This is what I was prophesied to teach to you at this time. Look at chapter 18 now. Chapter 18 of Revelation, and look at verse 4. He says, and I heard another voice from heaven saying, come out of her, my people, so that you do not partake of her sins, and so that you do not receive of her plagues. Yes, they're waiting for you all over the world. The plagues are waiting for you all over the world. Let's go back now to Koheleth, and I want to read you some of the judgments here that Yahweh says for you, talks to you about, and tells you how to find. It starts you off. That's what the house of Yahweh was for. In the first house of Yahweh, the first Sabbath day, that's what it was for, to start you in this direction that this man is repeating again right here. Very wise man. Ecclesiastes 5. Let's start with verse 1. Now, this is the last prophesied house of Yahweh. For this will be it. That from this one right here, this one will never die. We will resurrect those who are given power, and you could have this power. But you've got to overcome to get it. You can't have one foot in Baal's world and one foot in Yahweh's world. The Savior showed you this. Many people don't like what the Savior said, but the Savior said exactly what the prophets showed. And of course, this right here is one of the prophets that actually this man called to assembly and told the people, get ready now because you're going to be taught Yahweh's laws. And he says here, keep your foot when you go to the house of Yahweh and be more ready to listen. That's what you should come here for. You think that some other law is more important than this one right here? This judgment right here that he is giving you is as important as any law in the Holy Scriptures. In fact, it's probably more so because it sets you up for learning. Many people come to the house of Yahweh thinking they're going to teach the house of Yahweh. They're coming here to straighten us out. Whereas they should first read about the house of Yahweh and why it's established. We put it out there for them. And they should know that Yahweh says, this house of Yahweh is going to bring perfection to all nations. How can you get past perfection? Can you go higher than perfect? I don't think so. And that's what the prophet said in Zechariah 4, 5, and 6. He shows you all through Zechariah what's going to take place. But he says, my house, my two witnesses is going to establish my house, and they're going to take perfection to all nations. Then the nations are going to come to the house of Yahweh in the same time period, this last time period. Well, of course, it starts with the Sabbath day. And with these nations, even though they read a lot before they get here, their true message is going to come and their true understanding is going to start coming with the first Sabbath day they keep in front of Yahweh to get that inspiration from Yahweh while they're sitting here learning in front of Him, if they have a humble mind and come and listen. Come and listen. Don't come to argue. Don't come to object. You know, I was so pleased with what Netanyahu said in his speeches when he said, I'm trained in objections. I've studied all of my life to object, and I'm great at objection. Well, of course, he saw his mistake. It's too bad everyone in the house of Yahweh can't see that. You're not here to object. Yahweh never called anyone to his house to come here to object against the priest. In fact, he says his house is going to bring perfection to you if you will allow. And he tells you, repent. And the Savior said, if they would repent and convert, then they would be healed. But they hang on to the sickness, disease, because they won't repent. First off, they don't come here to listen. Some. I hope that at least 99% do. And that's what I see. I was so discouraged last night. You know, the day started so wonderful yesterday with the blowing of trumpets the night before, and I was rejoicing, and I was on this high, and all day yesterday, and then last night, I felt like Eob. One problem after another started coming in. And I got to getting depressed, and I said, I've got to get out of this. I'm not going to allow Satan to ruin this high. And I did, with the help of some other people, you know, Malachim, who comforted me, that's what I offer to you. You know, when people call me and they're down, well, I try to comfort them and tell them, get your mind off of this. You know, you can't let this ruin your day. Get your mind off of it and get it on rejoicing before Yahweh and let Yahweh straighten out these problems. Don't be concerned, overly concerned. If we can help, we'll do so. But most of the time, it's Yahweh that's going to have to do it. Sometimes He allows us to be instruments in it, but sometimes the people block us out. And of course, when they do, they suffer, and they suffer greatly. But there's nothing we can do, you know. Everyone has his own choice to make. Well, I did overcome it. I did get out of the rut and get back into rejoicing. Had a great night's sleep. Woke up this morning ready to talk to you. But be ready to listen. Now, that's a judgment. That's also a command. It's a law that when you enter the house of Yahweh, this is what you're going to have to do if you want Yahweh to inspire you and open your mind to understand what I'm going to bring you next, which I intended to get deeper into today, but we will get into it. We'll finish it before this feast is out. But be ready to listen, more ready to listen than to give the sacrifice of fools, more ready to listen. You should come here eagerly. Be on time. This will show Yahweh that you are eager and wanting to learn, wanting to listen to every word that He has to say. Someone told me the other day, they said, you know, people don't seem to want to come and you hear these young priests, but he said, you know, I've learned a lot from these young priests, from what they have been bringing. And if you could see these young priests and priestesses teaching teaching. Did you know while you were laying asleep this morning, 3 o'clock in the morning, these young priests were teaching people in Nigeria from here. Now soon we're going to have priestess doing the same things, if we're not already. But they're going to be teaching. But at 3 a.m., they were up and on the air teaching throughout the world. But mainly a group, but it was going throughout the world, but mainly that huge group in Nigeria that you'll see more on. I'm just enlightening you. You'll see all of this during the feast. It's a wonderful thing to see what Yahweh, the doors he's opened. But don't think that you're going to be wasting your time by getting here on time to hear these young priests teach. You can learn a lot if you will just humble yourself and bend down and listen. Be ready to listen. But this is the command, this is the judgment of Yahweh that he gives to this, the in Scripture, the inspired Scriptures. And notice, if you're not ready to listen, then you're offering a sacrifice of fools with your attitudes, with your rebellious attitudes, by not following this first part, preparing yourself to be ready to listen when you get here. Listen and learn. This is very important, or I wouldn't harp that much on it. Do y'all see that, every one of you, in your Scriptures? Be more ready to listen. You see, if you're not ready to listen, then Yahweh says you're giving a sacrifice of fools. You're bringing a sacrifice of fools into the house of Yahweh. If you don't prepare yourself to listen. You think I've harped on this too much?
No.
I bet you remember it. I bet you don't forget it this time. So the next Sabbath day, when we have this appointment with Yahweh and his teachers, then you won't break this law, will you? For they do not even realize that they do evil when they don't prepare themselves to listen. They don't realize it. They're too stupid to know. As the apostle says, I don't want you to be ignorant, brethren, concerning this. But they're too ignorant to know that they're doing evil when they don't prepare themselves before they come in the door. Prepare themselves to listen when they get before Yahweh. And they let that pour out of their mouth sometimes. And of course, Yeshua said, by their words, they're going to be condemned. I'm trying to save your life. Do not be rash with your mouth, because this is comes next. By not being prepared to listen, then he is rash with his mouth. They don't stop. You remember in the lesson, the first lesson, stop. Think. Stop. Think. Consider the options before you proceed, before you open your mouth. Well, the first thing was stop. Am I ready to listen now? Am I prepared to keep this law that Yahweh said here? To just enter his house. This is the thinking that should be going on in your mind. Don't be reckless with your mouth. Do not think of hastily uttering a word before Yahweh. Yahweh is in heaven and you are on earth. So let your words be few when you come into his house. Greeting, shalom. That would be few enough, I would think. And the rest of it, where am I going to sit? That would be few enough. And then be prepared with your book of Yahweh in front of you to read what's in it. Dreams come. Dreams come. That word should have been translated lust or ambitions. You could translate it ambitions. Remember, The great teacher said, don't show your ambitions to the king, son. He wasn't meaning don't show your ambition for the work of Yahweh. That wasn't what he meant. He meant don't show your stupidity. Be ready to listen to the king, and don't show your lust, your lustful thinking to Yahweh. Be ready to listen and to overcome, and be always ready to repent when you listen. Then be ready to repent and convert right then. You should go to the house of Yahweh to find out what you're doing that is wrong. You should lust after that. That's the ambition you should show the king. The king is Yahshua Messiah. But dreams, a dream comes because of a multitude of business. A fool's speech comes because of this multitude of dreams or multitude of lusting. Their ambitions to go out and find excitement or disease. You're not going to find joy out there. You can find excitement, you can find frills. You can go out there and find people dressed like clowns or like whores or whatever it is that seems to stir your mind, but that won't bring you peace. Peace will come if you obey these words right here. This is the first step in getting started with Yahweh. A fool's speech comes because of a multitude of words, brought about by these foolish dreams or ambitions or lust. When you make a vow to Yahweh, do not delay to pay it. When you came here and was baptized, you made vows to Yahweh. That's a vow you made to Yahweh. Yahweh says you can't relent on a vow. He said it would have been better if you hadn't even vowed, if you didn't intend to keep that vow that you made when you were baptized. That's what he was saying. Vows are important. But if you don't intend to keep a vow, why would you make one? Do you think you're going to get like the Christians do? You think you're going to get to heaven with no works? The house of Yahweh is a house of overcoming. First finding where you're wrong, and then repenting and converting away from that wrongful doing, that evil, that he calls it evil back up here in verse 1, converting away from that evil to perfection, the perfection that Yahweh says, my house is going to bring, starting in a land, a Babylonian land, not yet established. You know when Oklahoma was established? Did anyone look up that history? Just a few years before I was born. Very few years before I was born. Oklahoma was the last state settled. Did you ever read about the Oklahoma runs? I'll bring you the history on it. 45 years before I was born was the Oklahoma runs. After that, Oklahoma was established. 45 years before I was born. He was holding that for me. Yes, it wasn't even established. They wouldn't even allow people to live there, not even the Indians. Yes, that's true. I'm telling you the truth. 45 years before I was born, they had the Oklahoma runs. And they gave the land to about 50,000 families, and they started staking it off and building 45 years before I was born. And then after they got it settled, houses built there where I could live there. Think of this. They got it settled. They got some towns built where I could buy some groceries. They got some houses built so I could live in them. Yes, and then Yahweh sends dust, and he turns the whole thing into a dust bowl and drives them out. Now you think about this and think about his protection for the work in these last days. I'll show y'all proof on all of this. I'll read it to you straight from history during the feast. I have it planned. I just want to give you some things to think about. Yahweh didn't haphazardly throw somebody down here to start a work. He had this work planned. He had it planned for you to be sitting there in that chair listening to me right now. Every one of you. He drove out the people by the thousands. They left. I had no trouble finding a house. They were vacant by the thousands. Had no trouble finding land to work. It was plenteous. We picked our own place. Had a natural lake in it. We owned it. We had it. It was ours. Yahweh gave it to us for me to be raised in a certain way in a certain place. That's what Yahweh prepared in preparation for you being here today. Think of the forethought he put in you being here in front of me today. So when you make a vow to Yahweh, you need to take thought before you do this. Don't give the sacrifice of fools coming from your mouth. But now that you have given the sacrifice of a fool, you better repent that you broke it. And you need to convert and say, I'm going to keep my vows from now on. Please forgive me for this stupidity to begin with. That's what you need to do. But still, the choice is yours, isn't it? Well, you only have a few months left, I'd say. I'd say this is all going to, we're going to see the kingdom of Yahweh in this year, this coming year, 2011. When you make a vow to Yahweh, do not delay to pay it, for he has no pleasure in fools. This is the sacrifice of a fool that you're giving when you don't intend to keep it. Pay what you have vowed. Pay what you have vowed. And then teach this to your children. Teach it to your children. You've got to teach this to your children. He holds you responsible for your children. If you don't have a child, you're still responsible for teaching mine. I have children. You're still responsible for helping us teach all the children here. One of the jobs of the house of Yahweh, including you, whether you have a child or not here, is to diligently teach these children. That couldn't be done before the house of Yahweh was established, brethren. But it's possible now. We have teaching going on almost 24 hours a day, teaching and training. It is better that you should not make that vow at that time. That's what he's talking about. He's not saying don't vow, but don't make a foolish vow that you don't intend to keep. Than to vow something and then not pay it. Do not let your mouth cause your body to sin. If you make a vow and you don't pay it, or you rush back out into the world, you didn't listen when you came to the house, then you rush back out into the world and you start smoking marijuana or taking some other kind of drug to rule your brain, or eating pork that will fill your brain with trichinosis, or STDs which hide in the brain. Did you know that? They can actually hide STDs. HIV can actually hide in your brain for years and open doors for other confusion to come into your brain. You remember reading Leviticus, the 18th chapter, and the confusion that comes with breaking Yahweh's laws? Now you know scientifically what actually causes that. I told you years ago what was causing it. This is what got the scientists in America to looking where I told them to look. And now they're seeing exactly what I said they would find. No one looked there before. Now they're looking into the firmament. Did you know that? They're finding all kinds of things I said was there. They will find more if they will keep studying it. They will see how Yahweh controls the atmosphere on earth for you, and how certain things send out distress signals and say, I need help, and I need help over here on this table. I need help over here on this prayer. Oh, this is coming from the atmosphere itself that I'm speaking of, the trees that we eat the fruit from, the ground we grow the vegetables from, and so forth. It's in pain. It's crying out right now because of the sins of mankind, sexual sins of mankind. And you want to be a part of that? You sure you want to be a part of that? You want your children to be a part of that? They won't be that old when it goes down. Do not let your mouth cause your body to sin. Do not say in the presence of a messenger of Yahweh, it was a mistake. Think about it before you do it, and you won't have to be saying this, is what he's saying. Why should Yahweh be angry by what you said and destroy the works of your hands? In the multitude of dreams, here again you have the same thing. It's ambitions. It's lust. You daydream. It's talking about daydreams. You wanting to do this. You wanting to do that. It's like Satan wanting to run to and fro. Well, what are you seeking, Satan? Well, I'm seeking joy. I just want to do this. Why? Can't you see the harm that's there waiting on you? Have you thought about it at all? Have you considered what you're going into, what you're leading your family, your children into? Look around you. Listen to the news. See what is taking place in Baal's world. In the multitude of your lust, in the empty words coming from your mouth, is much vanity. Therefore, simply reverence, that is, show obedience to Yahweh. I won't go through the rest of that chapter, but you need to. Turn over to the last chapter of this great teacher here who Yahweh gave you to try to enlighten you as to where to begin in his house. There's much here to tell you how to begin and how to achieve exactly what Yahweh tells you you can achieve, being made into the image of Yahweh. Look at verse 13. Here's the conclusion right here. Let us hear the conclusion of the whole matter. Reverence Yahweh. You remember the sermons on the reverence? How do you reverence Yahweh? You reverence him, first off, by being ready to listen, and then obey what he says, his laws, his statutes, and his judgments. That's why we don't offer a Passover lamb. Because his judgments, his statutes shows us that no, you don't offer one now. It's already been offered by Yahweh. Those who don't want to accept that, they're not ready to listen when they come to the house. They let their mouth overload their salvation, and it causes it to fall. That's just one of the things. That's the reason we don't give gifts in the house of Yahweh. Because Yahweh says, gifts turn the head. They don't see this evil that the man wanted from giving this gift. So it turns the head. Well, I gave you a favor. Oh, I know. Mark this much off of your list. You remember the unfaithful servant that Yeshua spoke of? It started with the giving of a damn gift. Don't give gifts in the house of Yahweh. If you give a gift, give it to Yahweh's house. Don't give it to a person. Yahweh says, pick priests who hate gifts. Why would he say this? I'll bring more on this later, but I want to get it in before the feast. Don't be taking gifts. Don't be accepting gifts from anybody. Beware. Beware of those giving gifts. Why would he tell you this? To warn you that it turns the head. It causes unjust judgments. Get your mind on Yahweh and doing exactly what he says, and you will find the joy of Yahweh in his house. And he'll give you the greatest gift of all, which is joy and gladness. Joy. You'll find joy. You'll find delight in Yahweh's service. If you will do what Yahweh tells you to do. If you don't, it's going to all be taken away from you. Everything you had will be taken away from you. May Yahweh bless you, and I'll turn the services back to the next speaker. I love you, brother.